Shana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the amazing love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear. And yes, Lashana Tova to all the listeners, which means have a good year, because in just a few weeks, our Lord's real next new year begins on Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. Obviously, in memorial of the anniversary of the creation of the world.
But more specifically, Adam and Eve.
Yes, definitely Adam's birthday. So that means we are right now in Teshuvah, the preseason time to prepare for the kickoff of the new year and the possible resurrection some year. Now, this season of Teshuvah, therefore, leads us into the yet unfulfilled fall feast, a very important time of the year for all humanity. And that's our topic tonight.
And perhaps next week.
Very likely. So with that said, let's first, as always, give him great thanks for creating us in his image.
Abba, Father, Holy God of Israel, you alone are our master, who gave us your only Son, our Messiah. May this season of repentance speak to all of our hearts to get closer to you through your word, for you are the word and our only means of salvation. Protect our loved ones from the massive secular brainwashing and the many child predators. Help us to be very observant of our less familiar surroundings and be more perceptive of those who do not know you, so to offer them your gospel. We continue to pray salvation for our loved ones after we lift up to your throne our listeners' health issues, particularly our recent prayer requests. Bless tonight's study as we anxiously await your return and to receive our crown of righteousness. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Since we have not covered the news in a few weeks, we probably should begin with Israel.
For sure, because they have been in a tit-for-tat battle with Hezbollah on their Lebanese border, even burning down some of the landscape to better view their northern enemy, also erecting large sand barriers. Israel over the weekend advised civilians living within 4 miles of that border to stay indoors
and be ready to move into their bomb shelters.
So, escalation was occurring, but I did read yesterday that Hezbollah asked for a ceasefire right after the IDF responded to Hezbollah's attack of several missiles on their Israeli base.
Yes, Israel began shelling back with over 100 artillery shells.
And an airstrike. No injuries are being reported.
Now we wait and see.
That's it. Iran is refusing to talk to President Trump unless he lifts their sanctions.
And that's not going to happen.
Doesn't seem to. Besides, they're too busy managing their proxy army, Hezbollah. So, will they attack again?
If so, you know, that could help Netanyahu with the election in a couple weeks.
Exactly. Somewhat convenient, and we'll just leave it at that. Also, there will be no revealing of Trump's deal of the century before Netanyahu can form a government, assuming he wins the next election.
So, do you want to comment on what many prophecy students want to know?
You mean, do I think the rapture will happen this year?
That would be the one.
Well, of course, no one really knows for sure. And God can speed up things very quickly. However, at this point, in my mind, in our opinion, because we have both talked about this and both agree, but we hope we are wrong, that more than likely we will not hear the sound of the last trumpet this year. But we highly anticipate it for next year, just prior to the 2020 elections.
More on all that at a later time.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But remember what we have been also saying, that a spiritual covenant will be part of the Daniel 9:27 agreement. You know, when Israelis and actually everyone left after the rapture will, besides giving up sovereignty of the Temple Mount, well, they're also going to accept the one God for all idea. In other words, that Allah is also Jehovah, any deity, even Buddha, as all religions will lead to heaven, they will say.
As it is written in Revelation 17, the harlot rides the beast.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's two parts to this coming covenant. And by the way, the Pope is working on that covenant right now.
It's called Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together.
And earlier this year, Pope Francis, you're not going to believe this, actually said that the diversity of religion is God's will.
That's an abomination.
You think? It's very anti-gospel. Very sad. Especially coming from the church who once told me, since I was Catholic, I was guaranteed heaven.
Boy, what a hypocrite, huh?
Well, this Jesuit Pope has started fulfilling end-time scripture of a one-world harlot religion. Although Pope Benedict set the stage for him as well when he embraced Islam and kissed the Quran.
Yeah, I remember that sick picture.
Oh, and a bit of recall is when the Oslo Accords were signed with Israel in 1993, there was also another agreement. Yep, it was called the Fundamental Accord, written and signed by Pope John Paul, where the Catholic Church was given special privileges in Jerusalem, and although secretive, has since maintained a unique relationship with Israel, especially over the area called the Cenacle on Mount Zion, where King David resided.
And where the Last Supper occurred.
Yes, also called the Upper Room, where Pope Francis held a Mass when he visited Israel in 2014.
Israel still retains sovereignty.
Yes. But the Vatican seems to be calling the shots and is claiming ownership of the Cenacle, bought, they say, by the Franciscan friars back in the 14th century, and has supposedly, within the last 10 years, dug a secret tunnel under the Cenacle. And we're just not sure why.
Okay, then, what's happening in Washington?
Well, it's disheartening because for the second time, the Department of Justice, William Barr, declined to prosecute James Comey despite finding many grievances.
Well, you know, it's a dual justice system for sure.
But it's not over yet. They have the FISA violations to decide on.
And another shooting spree in Texas.
Yes, and the many Chicago shootings is just a common thing. So now we can surely expect the red flag law be implemented, which is just a slippery slope to total gun confiscation. And the G7 summit is over, and the United States will host it next year. President Trump said he might hold it at a Trump resort in Miami.
Yeah, I don't think he means that. But, you know, knowing Trump, he likes to make money. So.
Right. He's just adding more fuel to the left's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, the big news is that the added tariffs went into effect Sunday alongside Hurricane Dorian to jumpstart Teshuvah.
That's interesting.
No denying we are in a trade war with China, who also added their own tariffs on our goods.
So, who will give in first?
Well, neither the United States or China want to appear weak. Both are ready to absorb some economic pain.
Yeah, but you know, China's very mad at us.
Oh, yes. Which also fits nicely in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, as the kings of the East.
Like so much else.
So much else, yes. Mm-hmm. I know, it's amazing to watch and to be living in such a time as this.
And amen to that. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly needed and appreciated, which will automatically add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, ShowfireMinistries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And also this Friday at 7 p.m., I will be speaking a very timely end times message with a review of the unfulfilled fall appointments of our Lord at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
Where we hope to see you.
We certainly do.
Okay, Teshuvah started out with a Category 5 hurricane on Sunday.
Yes, hitting hard the Bahamas. Now downgraded, praise the Lord, but can still cause significant damage to the East Coast. You should know that Teshuvah, which began last Sunday, always begins on the Hebrew month of Elul 1, a new moon, which suggests a new beginning to something. So it's quite fitting that Rosh Hashanah also begins on a new moon. Teshuvah is a yearly warning season to repent and occurs 30 days before Rosh Hashanah and then continues to Yom Kippur on Tishri 10, one of the fall feasts.
So it occurs this time every year for a very good reason.
I'll say, because it's God's warning season to the whole world of a coming judgment that some year begins on a Yom Kippur. And we can assuredly say we will see very serious warnings of high intensity when Teshuvah occurs in the year of the rapture.
So, just before the tribulation.
Yes, because of God's great mercy, it's a last-minute opportunity to get saved.
Before that last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15:51 sounds.
Amen. So, meanwhile, this season is also a golden opportunity for the church to reach out to the lost, especially to those in need, and offer them a better way and salvation.
Mm-hmm. Because some year, it really will happen.
The signs he told us to watch for are occurring right now. And Jesus at some point must keep his next appointment.
Well, you know, he's kept the first four. There's only three left.
Which happens in the fall season. So every year around this time, our excitement level increases as he expects us to be anxiously awaiting.
Hebrews 9:28.
And remember, James 5:7 does point to the grape harvest time, which is in the fall for Jesus' return. Again, the season of Teshuvah, meaning to repent or to turn closer to God, began this year last Sunday and continues 30 days till the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, and then another 10 days, which is 40 days, to the Feast of Yom Kippur at sundown this year on October 9th.
Each 24-hour period begins at sundown, as stated in Genesis 1.
Yes, and here's a gold nugget. The first 30 days of Teshuvah is heralded in with the blowing of the shofar, till the last trumpet is blown after 100 blasts on Rosh Hashanah. Then, after the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1 and 2, there is silence for the 7 days of awe, also called the High Holy Days, ending on Yom Kippur, Tishri 10, when the great trump is blown, which is the idiomatic expression for Yom Kippur. See Matthew 24, verse 31.
Like the last trump is an idiom for Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. They have idioms. So what's revealing here is that we do see Teshuvah detailed in Scripture, where God particularly uses this season of warning just prior to what they knew would be the resurrection some year on the anniversary of the creation of man.
On Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm. This is also written down in their tractate commentary book on Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, the strict Orthodox still believe that. But others, well, kind of like Christians, well, we've gotten away from our original Hebraic roots. In fact, some Jews today who have received the Messiah admit that they had to go back and learn their true roots from when Jesus walked.
Well, yeah, because the teachings have changed.
Especially during the Dark Ages and their newly reformed teachings. But unfortunately, not all learn their roots and instead teach what their recent ancestors taught them, which can be perplexing to Gentiles because there's conflicting teachings and they're popping up causing believers confusion. We need to study our Hebrew roots dating from the first or second century. George Foote Moore is a good author.
By the way, you know, they did not wear yarmulkes.
No, they didn't. And I always found it peculiar that the hierarchy in the Catholic Church wear them as well.
Didn't you research that?
Actually, yes.
Oh, do tell.
Well, red is reserved for cardinals and purple for bishops and other colors for other ranks. They called them the skull cap or zucchetto, and it began hundreds of years ago because when they took their vow of celibacy, a ring of hair was cut off the tops of their heads called tonsure. So these caps were used to cover that part of the head to retain body heat.
Monks and even other religions like the Buddhists practice tonsure as well.
Yep. Anyhow, back to learning our roots. Christians really need to do that. Because after Constantine defiled the church with the leaven of paganism, we need to go back and learn our Hebrew roots so to better recognize how fortunate we are to be under a new covenant, praise the Lord, which is why I enjoy teaching it.
But, you know, it's in a balanced way.
Yes, omitting all legalism.
Mm-hmm.
Example, as with the spring feast that Jesus fulfilled, well, he also fulfilled the Sabbath because he is our Sabbath, meaning every day is the Sabbath to us because he dwells in us. It's been fulfilled. However, we are to recognize the Sabbath as a typology, a future picture of how the restful day of the seventh day, lasting 1,000 years, called the millennial kingdom, will be.
And, you know, Hebrew 4 explains this very well.
And we can also see that Jesus honored Teshuvah by fasting those 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted by Satan on the last day, and from my studies, was on a Yom Kippur, a spiritual antitype of how Jesus will return after the tribulation, also on a Yom Kippur, to totally defeat Satan. But next time, Jesus will then himself rule the world literally and forever.
Well, you know, Satan did offer Jesus the world right there and then.
Which confirms just how powerful Satan is,
mm-hmm.
but only for a while, which is why evil still happens and increasing as Scripture prophesied that it would.
Yeah, and even more so just prior to Jesus' return.
And here's another gold nugget for you. By doing scrupulous math through Scripture using the Hebrew calendar, we can know that Moses went back up on the mountain the second time for 40 days during what would later be called Teshuvah, because it was the time Moses repented for the people for worshiping the golden calf. Moses came down the mountain on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets. Well, Jesus, too, comes back down with his new millennial covenant on a Yom Kippur. Go figure. Moses is definitely a prototype of Jesus. We see, as with the spring feasts, the fall feasts as well have historical applications, as I just told you. Pretty amazing and so rewarding to connect the dots on all this. And that's why I have this passion for you, his bride, to know all about this. Because in no way can I hide the light of this knowledge under a basket. By the way, this shows that God is a date setter, and all the important dates have already been exactly fixed. I promise you that. Well, let's confirm more precisely through Scripture, as in Haggai chapter 1, where you'll see that it starts right off making sure the reader knows it is Elul 1. By saying that it was on the first day of the sixth month. So, by looking at the Hebrew calendar, you can know it was the first day of their season of Teshuvah. Again, meaning to turn more toward God, to please Him before ourselves, because although they knew of him, well, they were not moving toward him. And we all know if you are not progressing, you are regressing. And so we see God purposely using this time of the year and letting us know it's this time of the year to rebuke them. And he still does it today. You know, if you research calamities around the month of September, you'll see how often unpleasant events occur, as in 9/11, and so many hurricanes. Just do a web search and you'll be really amazed. So, we can also see in the book of Haggai that God not only rebuked the Hebrews for their neglect in building God's temple, but even more than that, we see some details about the condition of their hearts, where the cares of their lives were being front and center instead of God. Well, does that apply today? Laodicean, lazy Christians? Not socially, of course, but the condition of their hearts, lacking passion. What a great word, passion, to know Jesus more. And of course, you can only do that through his word. Being spiritually content to stay as is. Do you know anyone like that? So, God says to them in verse 5, and then repeats it again in verse 7 in Haggai chapter 1, to consider their ways. Their houses were well done, but not God's house. In fact, all aspects of their lives were seemingly quite adequate. So God says twice that they better consider their ways, meaning to turn around and get busy in doing what God requires, or he will withhold the rain, he said in verse 11. Wow, I think of California's droughts and all the fires and the poor farmers with the high costs of paying even crop pollinators because the bees are becoming so scarce. It's interesting that during the diaspora, Israel's land received little rain, not much growth of anything, just like Jesus said when he cursed the fig tree, a symbol for Israel. But as soon as the Jews began to return to their land, the rains came, and now Israel is a leading export of fruits and vegetables. Wow. The fig tree is blossoming again, and that is the number one sign. Number one, that we are that generation to see his return. He said it, and I believe it. However, trouble is coming. And it says in Hosea 5:15 that in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And they will. Yes, judgment is coming. We will continue next week on this season of repentance. But how about you? Is it time to repent and get passionate for Jesus? I'm not talking about your sins or your salvation. I'm talking about just telling him you want to get closer to him and meaning it. Use this time to do it. Or maybe you're listening tonight and you just never really made him Lord over your life or even accepted his free gift of salvation. Well, you better not wait any longer. If you need to, get on your knees right now and invite him into your heart. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing of number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in every way possible. Jerusalem's our future home. So keep looking up. We're waiting anxiously, and we will get that crown of righteousness. Shalom till next time.